Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 to 15. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses, while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be a little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord, Almighty their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month.
Thank you, Chris, very much indeed for reading that. And can I pass on once again all the greetings from the Trinity Church family. It's so good to be with you up here in Croucher. And we're going to be looking at that part of the Bible. We're going to be looking at Haggai over this week and the next couple of weeks. But before we look at it in any more detail, why don't we pray as we begin? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, thank you that your word is living and active. And so we pray that as we come to your word seeking to understand it, that you would be bringing us alive and you'd be making us active for you. And we pray, Father, that we would leave this afternoon as changed people because of the work of your Spirit bringing your word to life. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. My background is that I used to be a doctor, and there's only one time that I remember in all of my medical practice when I fell asleep on a patient. So I was on call as a surgeon. It had been a very taxing weekend. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning, and my bleep went off. I was called across to casualty, and there was a patient there who I needed to see, and I had my stethoscope very short. And I wanted to listen to this patient's abdomen. And as I sort of bent over to listen, I sort of found myself back on a nice warm pillow, as if I was back in bed, and just drifting off to sleep. And it was the patient's father, actually, who woke me up as I was asleep on his daughter's stomach. And the doctor-patient relationship was very difficult from that point onwards. It was quite hard to recover. It's quite easy to fall asleep And from time to time in the Bible, that's what happens to God's people. From time to time in the Bible, God's people fall asleep. How do we know that? Because God very graciously warns them, and just like that patient's father, seeks to wake us up. And that is the purpose, really, of the book of Haggai. It's one of the shortest books of the Bible. It's written by one man who lived right at the end of the Old Testament. And it's written with one clear message, really, that God's people sometimes need to be woken up. And if that sounds like a hard message, and in some ways it is, and I hope that all of us feel the challenge of what God's saying over the next few weeks, then it's also a book that's just suffused with God's love and his grace and his mercy and his provision, so that as we seek to be God's church in the 21st century, we will understand the incredible resources that he's giving us by his Spirit. Let's come back to the book of Haggai, and do keep that open. It's on page 948. And I'm delighted that you've been looking at the book of Haggai, been looking at the book of Ezra over the last week, because Haggai in many ways follows on from the book of Ezra. Now, Haggai was a man who lived about, 500 years? In fact, we know it's 520 years because he puts the date at the beginning of his book very helpfully. 520 years before Jesus comes. And it's a part of history which is written about in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. But you probably know the story. Let me remind you. God's people have been in exile, but that exile was coming to an end. And they're coming home. And in fact, just 20 years before Haggai starts writing, 50,000 people had been sent back from Persia to Jerusalem. And they were a special task force who'd been put together by the king of Persia. You might have looked at these words from Ezra 1. This is their job description. These 50,000 Jews coming back to Jerusalem from exile, and they were given a special job description. Ezra 1. Let any one of God's people go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem. And history tells us that they'd hit the ground running. They'd made a great start. The foundations had gone in, and the sacrifices were up and running. And it was such a historic time. You probably read this in Ezra 3, that people were crying out loud and shouting out loud. And it says in that understated way that Ezra has about him, the sound was heard from far away. Some people were rejoicing that the temple had got going again. Other people were in tears because it looked like a garden shed compared with the temple that they remembered. You know what it's like with DIY projects, eh? I take it. Do you have that too? They're so easy to start, but they're so hard to finish. Why is that? Just 6 months ago, I had to phone up the plumber. It was so embarrassing because we needed a new mixer thing. I didn't even know the proper name in our downstairs shower. And I got it all apart, but could I put it back together again? And I phoned up the plumber and said, I'm really, really sorry, but I've taken the shower apart. I can't get all the bits to go back in. And he said, somewhat darkly, we get a lot of that. And what with a bit of trouble from the locals that Haggai and these other 50,000 people had, and a bit of opposition from Artaxerxes, you probably read about that in Ezra, the temple was just one of those really awkward, half-finished DIY projects. And the moments had passed, really, and they got waylaid with other things, and they were too busy to notice that they were just starting to go to sleep. And that's why God rescues them in the book of Haggai. And this is what he reminds them, first of all, from verses 1 to 11. To have one priority only, and that's God's glory. One priority only, God's glory. Verses 1 to 11 in Haggai chapter 1. So do have a look down at verse 8. This is really the key verse of the whole section, verse 8. Let me read it out. This is God speaking. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it, and be honoured, says the Lord. Literally, that last bit says, and it says this in some versions as well, so that I may take pleasure in it and bring myself glory. Bring myself glory. That's what God wants to do. And we can start off by asking, you know, who's asking for this glory? And it's true the answer is God, but God has a particular name in the book of Haggai. A particular name. You can pick that up in chapter 1, verse 2. This is what the Lord Almighty says. That's what God calls himself. Or it comes again in verse 5. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Or again in verse 7 and again in verse 9. The Lord Almighty. Sometimes in older versions, he's called the Lord of Hosts. And what it means literally is a sort of commander of armies. The one who sort of is in charge, the commander-in-chief of the heavenly armies. And it's a name for God that reminds us that he is the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. He is the Lord, Yahweh. I hope you know that's true of God. He's a God who makes and keeps promises. That's what Lord means in capital letters, Yahweh. A God who makes and keeps promises. I hope you know that. If you're someone who finds it hard to trust, maybe you've been very let down in the past, maybe people have made you promises and totally failed to keep them. If you find it hard to trust, you can trust this God. He makes and he keeps promises. He is the Lord. And then he's the Almighty. And that means he is totally authoritative and unshakably in control. And I hope you know that if you're someone who tends to worry. If you're someone who gets quite anxious and feels that it all depends on you. And you're not sure how it's all going to turn out. God is the Almighty. He is unshakably authoritative. He is totally in control. It still seems strange, though, doesn't it? Working for your own glory. Have you ever thought that was a slightly strange thing for God to want to do? Perhaps it's because if you and I ask for glory, if you and I seek glory, then that's a wrong thing to do, and it's at other people's expense. But when God seeks glory, it is a right thing to do and is for other people's benefit. In fact, if I could put it like this, if God were to seek ultimate glory in anything else, he would be an idolater. It's absolutely right. It's strange, but it's right, isn't it, for God to seek glory for himself. That's the kind of God he is. He's the only being in the universe for whom glory seeking is 100% right activity. Why do God's people need that reminder now? Why do they need to be reminded of that? Well, over 20 years, they become extremely comfortable. It was 20 years since the foundations had gone in, and they become very comfortable. Have a look down at verse 2, Haggai chapter 1, verse 2. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Not yet. Those are the key words, not yet. It's very prudent, it's very safety first. It's very wise politically in the light of all the trouble they'd have with Artaxerxes. He wasn't a man that you wanted to upset. Well, have a look down at verse 4. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panelled houses? Now, that word for panelled is a word that's only ever used, really, of the temple. And the implication is that their houses are becoming temples for them. There can be a certain self-centeredness to the purchasing of soft furnishings. That's what the Bible says. How are they going to get back to honouring God? By noticing the warning signs and by getting building. You see, as God so often does, he's been incredibly patient with his people. He's a very patient God. I hope you know that. He'll be very patient with you, but he doesn't want to wake you up. And sometimes God will discipline you in order to wake you up. It's purely out of love. And purely for your benefit. But he will sometimes make us uncomfortable in order to wake us up. And so God's people needed to see the warning signs. Interestingly, we're told the exact date that Haggai, the book of Haggai begins in verse 1. Did you see that? the first day of the sixth month. We would call that the 29th of August. And it's autumn time, and they're bringing in their harvest, and they're singing, you know, we plough the fields and scatter, whatever that was in the 5th century BC. And maybe they were looking around and thinking, do you know, those marrows, they're looking a bit thin this year. Those carrots have got end rot. You know, tomato's gone a bit black around the ends. It was God working out his promises. He says back in Deuteronomy 28, if you want to read that later on, that he would warn them when they were going wrong, to bring them back to him. And it's out of his love that he does that. And so they had to take a long, hard look in the mirror. I don't know whether you ever have those conversations with yourself in the mirror. I do. In fact, I have a special name. This might be slightly weird. I have a special name for myself, which I use when I'm talking to myself in the mirror. I call myself Hobbo. I say, right, Hobbo, come on. Now's the time. And they need to have one of those conversations, you know. That's what God means in verse 7. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Do some thinking. Switch your brains on. Join the dots. See what I'm saying? You know, God's saying, I brought you back specifically to build the temple, and the temple specifically hasn't been built. And I want you to do the maths. You've gone to sleep. Build the house so that I might be honored, so that I can have the glory. That's such a right thing. Now, all of this, I accept, seems a million, million miles away from God's church in a world city like London in 2019. And this is a very long time ago. And the way that we will build God's glory is not by putting up a whacking big temple by the clock tower. Instead, it will be to do with the way that we relate to Jesus Christ. So all of our lives now as Christians are about relating to him, right? That's what it means to be a Christian, to be in relationship with Jesus Christ through his death on the cross, by trusting him for the forgiveness of our sins. If you looked up, maybe if you're taking notes, just write this down, look it up later on. John chapter 2, verse 19. John 2, 19. You'll find Jesus saying, in effect, that he is the temple. That's a radical thing to say in the first century. He says, I am, in effect, the temple. My body is the temple, the place where God is most honored. And so strangely, as each individual gets joined to Jesus by faith, by trust in him, then they become part of this new temple, which is made out of people. Maybe turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Turn forwards to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. It's on page 1174. Page 1174. Just keep one finger in Haggai. It's the third to last book of the Old Testament, if you need to look it up again at any time. But the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse page 1174, and it's verse 21 and 22. This is describing the church, the New Testament church, guys like you. And this is what it says. Verse 21, in him, that's Jesus, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Do you see that picture? So what it's saying is God is still in the construction industry. But now he's building his temple with people. How do we build this temple? Well, if we're not yet believers in Jesus, then we join that temple by putting our trust in Jesus. If you're still someone who's holding Jesus at arm's length, I cannot tell you what a joy it is to be part of this temple. Please don't leave tonight without finding out a bit more about it. You have everything to gain, I promise. And if you are already a believer in Jesus, then you build this temple by making it a priority to build God's kingdom, to build his church. You see, that's what it means now to be a temple builder. But this is the thing, and this is what I want you to remember. This is the spiritual principle that the priority is glory before comfort. Can you see how that comes out of Haggai 1? Glory before comfort. God's glory before human comfort. That's a very hard thing to say, but it's true. And I think God might want to wake us up to that. God's glory before human comfort. There's a famous writer called Jim Packer. And he says that we're in danger as a 21st century church of making our comfort the main thing. You know, I like Christchurch Crouch End because it's a church where I feel comfortable. I mean, many of us feel like that, but we can sort of make comfort our main aim. And that's dangerous. This is what he writes. These are quite challenging words. We have wrapped ourselves in layers of material comfort. We've embraced a hedonism of relaxation and happy feelings while dodging tough tasks, unpopular stances, and exhausting relationships. No wonder, then, that when Western man turns to religion, what he wants is total tickling relaxation, the sense of being at once soothed, supported, and endlessly invigorated. And he calls that hot tub religion. It's a challenge, hedonism, seeking a pleasure, a place where I feel comfortable. What will it look like to put God's glory before your comfort for you? Sometimes it's just a whole series of good decisions that build God's church. You know, helping out with your kids' club for 2 weeks in a row so that parents can get back into church. Or giving money to church when you could have got a nice new bathroom or you could have gone to a nicer hotel for your summer holidays. Maybe it's just getting praying. I mean, committing to specific prayer needs, like praying for that person in your home group. When to be honest, all you feel like doing is collapsing in front of the TV and watching Match of the Day. Yeah, it's just a whole series of good decisions. And sometimes it might mean a bigger decision to serve God's church. Maybe there's someone here who could commit to staying in Crouch End for the next 20 years to give Adam and Kate your full support in the long term to build God's kingdom here in N8. Maybe there's some people who could do that and say, do you know what? I could have taken that promotion in New York, or I could have moved out to a lovely house in the country and commuted in, but no, I'm going to stay here in Crouch End, and I'm going to commit the next 2 decades of my life, maybe the best years of my life, I'm going to commit to being a kingdom builder here at Crouch End. Maybe there's someone here who could do that. Maybe, and a couple of people have done this down at Trinity, maybe you could commit to becoming part-time in your job and giving a couple of days a week to be trained in reading the Bible one-to-one with other people up here in Crouch End. Now, let me say, I haven't discussed any of this with Adam, so I might be well off key. But my instinct is that he would be so delighted to have people committed to kingdom building up here in this part of London. You'll know what God wants you to do much better than I do. But don't say not yet. Don't say not yet. Commit to building the body of God's people. That is honouring the Lord of hosts, letting go of your comfort to build his church. Guys who used to be at Trinity, this is what we sent you here for, okay? It's what we want you to do. It's what we're praying you're going to be up to. And I find that so hard to do. I mean, I struggle with this. I'd so much rather read the BBC website. There's a lot of interesting stuff. And I have to say to myself all the time, glory before comfort. But if that sounds a bit bleak or a bit exhausting, then God has a second message for his people in danger, and it's this, a bit more briefly, one resource only, and that is God's presence. One resource only, God's presence. You might have noticed when Chris read to us from Haggai chapter 1 that there was this electrifying effect on God's people. And like anyone who's woken up to serious danger, they move very quickly. The reaction is widespread, according to verse 12. Everybody gets involved. and they're mobilized in the most, the most miraculous way. And then you notice that it's swift. It took just 23 days to mobilize the city. If you're back in Haggai on page 948, turn back to Haggai. And you'll notice verse 15. It was on the 24th day of the sixth month. It's amazingly quick, isn't it? Just, 3 weeks? Amazing. God's people are mobilized. But if like me, you assume that all the credit belonged to God's people, then do have a closer look at verses 12 to 15. Verse 12, why did all the people obey? Because God had told them to. They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. Verse 13, what does God declare? Even before the work's begun, you see, even before they mobilize themselves, what does God say? Verse 13, I am with you. The same words that God has spoken to some of the greats of the Old Testament. Isaac, Jacob, Joshua, Isaiah, and Jeremiah. I am with you, God says. Verse 14, why does the work begin? Because the Lord stirred up their spirits. Even obedience, you see, even Christian obedience is something that God brings about, energized by him. Maybe you're feeling very daunted by the task ahead at Crouch End. Let me tell you, I'm very daunted by the task ahead of us down at Trinity. I don't mind telling you, I've lost plenty of sleep over my church. Growing God's church is definitely not something to be taken lightly at all. And to be honest, we might face some scary moments. I'm sure you've had some already, and so have we. But God's promises to Haggai are clearly restated by Jesus Christ himself. It is his work to make us obedient so that the church is built. Let me read those famous words from the end of Matthew 28. Some people call it the Great Commission. Listen to the words that Jesus speaks to his disciples, and notice how they echo the promises in Haggai 1. Matthew 28, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He's the Lord Almighty. He's the God of hosts. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. In other words, build the house. And then what does Jesus say? And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Now, I know that you've got things coming up at Christ Church. Chris has told me about some of them. Marriage MOT, Men's and Women's Fellowship, Lads and Dads, supporting Adam and Kate as they move into the Vicarage. Carol services coming up in not too long. Those sound like great plans to me in order to build God's house, build his kingdom here in Crouch End. Don't say not yet. Don't hold back. You've just got one life to live. Commit. It's not just the big events, though, is it? It's the sort of day-by-day lifestyle. It's the making of good choices day by day by day. Being prayerful, reaching your friends. That book that I mentioned earlier on is full of amazing ideas about ways that you can get alongside your friends. It says, get our friends to become their friends. Introduce them to your Christian friends. Try and make sure when you're getting together with your Christian mates, you invite some of your not yet Christian friends along at the same time. Go to their things before they come to your things. Make sure that it's not just one-way traffic. Why don't you hang out with them? When they want to go to the cinema, why don't you go to the cinema with them so that when you're inviting them along to something at church, it doesn't seem quite so weird. Listen to their story before telling them your story. Jesus asks so many questions when he's involved in evangelism. Did you notice that? He's interested in them. And he looks at them and he loves them. Listen to their story as well as telling them your story. Tell a story about Jesus Christ. Make good decisions day by day to be a kingdom builder. That's my prayer for you and my prayer for me. It's a prayer that as a church we stay fully awake to all that God wants us to do. We'll put the glory of the Lord Almighty before our own comfort. And that we'll know that Jesus is surely with us always to the very end of the age. Well, we can leave it there for this week. But we're just going to have a short time of silence just to think about, maybe think about one specific thing that you want to do in response to what you've learned. And then Chris is going to come lead us in prayer. Thank you very much.